This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Hello, welcome to Radioactive Theater, bringing quality dramas, comedies, and mysteries from or reminiscent of the golden age of radio. This program is Two Across, a comedy of crosswords and romance by Jerry Mayer. Janet is played by Jen Enkowiak, and Josh is played by Gary Galanik. Two strangers, a man and a woman, board a San Francisco BART train at 4:30 a.m., beginning an 80-minute journey. As the train ride ends, it's obvious each of them has been changed for the better.
Good morning. It is now 4:12 a.m. on Bay Area Rapid Transit's early morning service from San Francisco International Airport to the East Bay. Final stop, Bay Point. Now leaving.
Don't close. Thank you. Morning.
Morning.
I see we're both fighting the New York Times Saturday crossword. I can't even finish Monday, and it gets tougher each day until sadistic Saturday. I wonder, can I ask a tiny favor?
What?
Could you move to another seat? Anywhere you want. It's just, you're in my lucky seats. Third one from the rear door, fourth from the map. I got almost half my crossword done sitting there on my trip out. It's my lucky seat.
You realize, of course, it's a different train. Therefore, a different seat.
Oh, please.
Okay.
Obviously, you're right, but thanks for humoring me. Here's a nice seat, clean, excellent view, and in a nice shade of blue. Goes with your outfit. Or, you might prefer this one opposite me. Dueling crosswords.
This'll be fine.
Good. Thanks, and feel totally relaxed. I'm superstitious, but otherwise harmless.
No problem. I always feel relaxed.
Whoa. What's that?
Mace.
The can says, intimate styling mousse.
Oh, shoot. Mace.
Smart. It's nice riding this early, isn't it? Total privacy.
Yes. And if you don't mind, I'm kind of at a moment of truth here.
Gotcha. That excitement of battling for those final words that mean either triumph or the shame of calling the 900 number for help. You call often?
I have never called the 900 number.
Neither have I. They charge $1.20 a minute. That's almost $75 an hour. It's extortion.
Look, I don't mean to be rude, but I've had a really long day and an even longer night, and all I want to do right now is concentrate on my crossword, okay?
Boy, do I know how you feel. Thanks for your honesty. There are times when the last thing one needs is small talk. Well, the enemy awaits.
Hey, do you mind?
Oh, I didn't want to disturb you. Just taking a tiny peek.
If you're going to cheat, why bother?
I wouldn't exactly call it cheating.
What would you call it?
Fear of flunking. An old college joke. Look, you seem to be a heavy hitter at this, and I'm definitely Sandlot. I won't peek anymore. But can I ask a question?
Okay, what?
I've got this decision on one across. I already have one down, sermon ender, in four letters, which, of course, is amen. So, one across. A saint's first name. In three letters, using the A from Amen, should be St. Anne, right? But two down is a long trip in six letters, voyage, right? And that would make it St. Ava, which doesn't sound real saintly to me. But then again, I'm not Catholic. Are you?
That's something I consider private.
Of course. I honor that. To me, whatever a person is no big deal. I happen to be Jewish, but that's not important.
True. Will you excuse me?
Sure. No problem. I'll just go with my gut instincts. Catholics have so many saints. I'm sure there's a Saint Ava around somewhere.
No. No, there isn't a Saint Ava around anywhere, nor is there a Saint Oprah. Take it from a Catholic, okay?
Gotcha. Okay. Then this doesn't work.
The problem is you don't work hard enough. You don't concentrate. You don't commit. You just flit along the surface.
Gee, I have never been called a flitter before. But you're right. I do flit. But hey, isn't flitting part of the fun? I don't consider crosswords a life or death struggle.
Maybe you should. Then you might catch some of your mistakes.
You're saying I've made mistakes?
Bingo.
Oh, you're one of those people who say bingo when you're not playing bingo.
I thought it was more polite than saying, duh. Pardon my frankness, but it upsets me when people do crosswords the way you do. You miss out on the real enjoyment and end up feeling frustrated and incompetent.
Exactly. And you can change all of that by giving me one tiny hint.
All right. As long as you face the fact that when you finish, you'll have a hollow victory.
Oh, no problem. I never finish.
And you accept that? Okay. One down. Sermon ender. The answer is not amen.
What? It has to be amen. It's got the right amount of letters, four, and when a sermon ends, people say amen. Catholics do it. Jews do it. Even educated fleas do it.
Uh-huh. But amen gives you Saint Ava. A nun would clobber you for that. Look, one down says sermon ender. But didn't you notice there's a question mark at the end?
Oh, yeah. Look at that little question mark.
That means the puzzle writer is throwing you a curve. You have to think harder.
Why? I've got the answer. Amen.
But it doesn't cross-check. Stop guessing. The golden rule for the beginner is exactness is everything.
Who says I'm a beginner?
That pencil you're using says it.
What's wrong with pencils?
They have erasers to correct beginner's mistakes.
Okay, now I'm an official member of the Pen Snobs of America. But I still say the answer is amen.
No, it isn't. Look, you asked for my help. I'm giving it to you.
I don't want it anymore.
But you're stuck. This will unstick
you. I'm not listening.
Et.
What?
You heard me. E-T-T-E. Et.
Et.
Sermon ender. In other words, when you end a sermon with et, you have sermonette. And et works both down and across.
You son of a...
What did you say?
The SOB isn't you. It's Will Shorts, the guy who runs the puzzle. If it was you, I would have said daughter, not son. Exactness is everything.
That's a start.
Look, this Potts Shorts gives himself a byline yet. Edited by Will Shorts. Like he's Ernest Hemingway or something. All he is an evil little twerp who's trying to mess up my brain.
Mr. Shorts is a little late for that. That was too easy. I'm sorry.
Don't be. You're good. Okay, I accept et, but that means I no longer have Ava. Now I have Eva.
That's right.
You're telling me there's a Saint Eva?
No, I'm telling you to think.
Okay, I think I need another hint.
You won't even try? One hint. On the waterfront.
You call that a hint? Okay, I'm thinking of Marlon Brando, but what does that have to do with... Wait! Eva Marie Saint! Yes! Yes!
Congratulations. Now, don't you feel proud of yourself?
Not really. You gave me the answer. I'm like Blanche DuBois. I've always depended on the kindness of strangers. Bye-bye, Mr. Shorts. I've got better ways to waste my time.
What are you doing, besides littering?
I'm doing something manly. Reading the sports page. That puzzle's just too tough.
Then why buy the New York Times?
Because I'm a split personality. Half Yankee fan, half masochist.
Let me see that.
Now approaching Dale City Station.
You finished almost half. You're doing fine. Well, except for this. And this. And how could you possibly... Okay, you've made mistakes, but you're not going to let Will Shorts beat you.
Why not? When you fail against the best, it's really not failing.
The hell it isn't. Now, don't roll over. Try harder.
I do try hard, but every time I get halfway through, the Marquis de Shorts begins his torture. And I know it's time for my sports page. And who gives a damn if a stupid crossword puzzle gets finished?
I do.
You really hate sports, don't you?
No, I hate apathy. What you're doing is giving up, which is an awful habit. You're slinking away from a simple challenge.
That's me. First I flit, then I slink.
Exactly, which means you're showing zero character.
Now hold on, miss. How can you make permanent judgments on someone's character when you've known them for less than...
Easy. I judge their actions, and yours are quitting when you should be standing up and fighting.
True, but remember, I've got zero character. And it's very hard to stand up when you're spineless.
Oh, my God. What am I doing? Forgive me. I have no right to judge your character. You're just fine. Here, go ahead and read your earned run averages.
Sorry if I upset you.
It's not you at all. It's me.
No, it's me. I've obviously interrupted your moment of truth.
No. It's nothing you did. I just haven't recovered from a very negative trip to the airport.
Oh, hey. Too bad. Want to talk about it?
Not really.
You sure? Sometimes it helps to unload your frustrations to a total stranger.
I don't unload frustrations. I deal with them.
I'd bet on it.
I'm worried about my son.
Damn. Sorry. Is it serious?
Yes, it is. Thank you for your concern.
Wait, you can't say to a person, I'm worried about my son, without saying why. Especially to a Jewish person. He isn't sick, God forbid.
No, I assure you, he's healthy. Now, that's it, okay?
Actually, it's not okay, unless you don't care if I'm up all night worrying about... May I at least ask your son's name?
Brian.
That's a start. Can you tell me how old Brian is?
He's 18.
Oy, 18. That's the age. Are we talking misdemeanor or felony?
Neither. He's never been arrested.
Good, but you're worried. He's not in any kind of danger.
Yes, he is. Or he might be. That's all I can think about, so I'm trying not to.
All right, I'm backing off. I'll leave you alone.
Ryan's 18th birthday was last week, and to celebrate, he joined the Marines.
Oy.
Plus, he dropped out of high school to do it.
Oh, Christ. Sorry, that was yours.
He's flying out at 5:30, a little over an hour from now, to Parris Island Marine Base. That's in South Carolina for basic training, and I am so scared.
Can't blame you.
I tried to get him to stay in school, but quitting's always been his pattern. He quit piano lessons at 9, Camp Thundercloud at 12. The only thing he hasn't quit is pot, and he's devoted to that.
Sounds a lot like me at 18. You're so damn unsure of yourself. He probably fell for that Marine commercial. The few, the proud.
It wasn't any commercial. It was his accident. He totaled my car last week. That's why I'm on the BART. Thank God he wasn't hurt.
You may be right. He probably joined to escape the guilt.
Yes, I know a little about guilt. I'm a psychologist.
Aha! Oh, really? I noticed that you're dressed exactly the way you should be. And lovely.
Thank you. I didn't have time to change. Rushed home to help Ryan pack. He forgot to put in socks and underwear. Then rushed to the airport, spent an hour at Starbucks and Terminal 3 trying to change his mind. And finally I got up, hugged him, told him I loved him and left, leaving my untouched turkey sandwich. I'm not just frustrated, I'm starved.
I'll bet you are. And I'm going to fix that. I can only eat half of this barbecued pork sandwich. Here.
You can't be serious.
You mean pork? I laugh at dietary laws.
I'm talking about the BART laws. Eating and or drinking are prohibited.
Are you nuts? It's 4:28 a.m. Who's around to care?
I am. By getting on this train, I agreed to obey the rules.
Heavens. I don't want to turn this into a crime scene. Back to your son. It's none of my business, but may I offer an opinion?
I suppose so.
Brian seems like he might be rebelling against what he feels is too much hands-on parenting. My dad's specialty.
Parenting is what parents are supposed to do.
It's hard to accept that at 18. You take on some kind of a strange Meshuggah factor. Well, I'll explain that.
No, you don't have to. Half of my patients are Meshuggah. I mean, Jewish. So I've learned some of the basic terms like Meshuggah, Schlepp, Mensch, Goy, Kvetch, Schmiel, Chutzpah, Shiksa.
I'm impressed. Congratulations.
You mean Mazel Tov.
Exactly. I'll bet you're a capable psychologist.
Thank you. I think I help quite a few patients on their road to Menschhood.
Mm-hmm. And some of us make it.
And some of you are Menschhood challenged.
Well, I can relate to Brian. I didn't quit high school, but in my freshman year at Berkeley at 19... I did something that drove my father nuts. I quit college to become an actor.
That's as bad as the Marines.
Worse. But I was convinced I was the Jewish Al Pacino. And for 3 whole years, all I cared about was the work. Until one night I was doing this cheapo version of Julius Caesar in a tiny storefront theater. As I start my big speech, I realize there are more bodies on stage, 6, than there are in the audience, 2. So I took to the stage and said, "Friends, Romans, countrymen, both of you, lend me your ears, all 4 of them. I come to bury Caesar and my acting career." Curtain. The end of that dream. So I exited the stage and entered real life working for my dad. Out of the frying pan, into the pressure cooker.
And you also got married. I noticed your ring.
Yeah, and I noticed yours.
Any children?
Nope, it's just Susie and me. You have any other kids?
Just Brian. Thanks for sharing your history. It gives me hope. If you got through your growing pains, maybe Brian will too.
I'm sure he'll do just fine.
I hope you're right.
I know I'm right.
So, what do you do for a living?
I'm unemployed.
You're out of work?
That's right. I'm a total bum.
Sorry, I was surprised.
So was my father.
You want to talk about it?
Now, 3 years ago, I quit my job with my dad's company after almost 30 years in the button business.
The button business?
I know it sounds boring, but it isn't. The company's been in our family since the Gold Rush days. Dad's factory makes buttons for Levi Strauss, Ralph Lauren. This brass eagle button dates back to the Civil War. My great-great-great-grandfather designed it. It's more than a button. It's sculpture.
It certainly is. You say you quit. Why?
Dad pushed my buttons.
You just left after working with your father for 30 years? Too bad. And what, he must be in his late 60s?
Thank you very much. He's almost 80.
Shame you left. You'd think he'd be ready for you to take over.
Right, but old Iron Fist didn't see it that way.
Iron Fist? He's violent?
No. He came up with this cute shtick when I was a kid. He called his right hand Iron Fist. He'd clench it and tell me to open it. And I'd try and try with no luck, and we'd laugh about it. But it stopped being funny when he controlled his business that way.
I know. Family businesses can be pretty stressful environments. I've refereed a few.
Ah, he meant well. He'd always say, 160 years, from father to son, from father to son. But for that to work, a father's got to loosen his grip and listen to his son. When Christ calls, call us. But all that ended on Tuesday.
What happens on Tuesday?
I'm interviewing at Banana Republic for VP in charge of advertising. This one, I've got in my hip pocket.
Good. You've studied the company history, researched Banana Republic from top to bottom?
Yeah, I buy all my pants there.
You know something? I've got a great idea. It might just land you that job at Banana Republic, but we need enough time. What's your stop?
The last one, Bay Point.
Me too. I just know this will work. You are going to walk into Banana Republic and be hired on the spot. That's how sharp and sure of yourself you're going to be.
As opposed to the way I am now?
I don't believe you. Your ship is sinking. I tried to throw you a lifeline, so you thumb your nose at me? You're just like Brian. Okay, I'll give you one last chance. Sports page, puzzle. You can read about jockstraps or be hired by Banana Republic. Make a decision.
Okay, I'm in. I'll do it for Brian.
Fine. First, let's fix 47 down.
Nice one. In three letters. I figured ace.
You figured? You've got to be sure.
An ace is a one that gives you blackjack. That's nice.
It's wrong. It doesn't cross-check.
Well, it can't do everything.
Remember, in crosswords, you have to think outside the box. Try to look at the word N-I-C-E in a different way.
Okay. How's this? Wait a minute. It could also be Nice, the city in France. So a nice one means Shorts the Schmuck wants the number one in French.
Oui. You can use my French dictionary.
You carry a French dictionary?
Yes. Also a world atlas and a thesaurus. French dictionary.
Actually, I don't need it. One in French is une. U-N-E, three letters.
Très bien, monsieur.
You think that's bien? I also can count all the way to four in French. I learned it doing the part of Javert, the villain in Les Mis. Jean Valjean, I will give you to the count of trois to come out with your hands raised. Une, deux, trois. Don't make me say cut.
Magnifique. Here's your other mistake. 12 across, a knee bender in seven letters. You said gorilla?
Gorilla is seven letters, and I've got the LLA at the end. And who bends their knees when they walk? A gorilla.
So does Groucho. He won't cross-check either.
Now approaching Civic Center Station.
Okay, so I made a small mistake.
There are no small mistakes, just mistakes.
I could be talking to my father. You're cuter.
Hint time. Let me show you something.
Neat.
Does this give you any thoughts?
A few.
Serious thoughts?
You have no idea.
A knee bender. Notice I'm patting my kneecap?
Patting it. Okay, so it starts with patting and ends with la. Patting la. Wait. It's one of those stupid medical words, isn't it? Patella.
Very good.
Like, the world needs a second word for kneecap. Does your hubby do crosswords?
Nope.
He doesn't know what he's missing.
Believe me, Warren knows everything. Just ask him.
I'd like to. What's with Warren, anyway?
What do you mean?
It's bugging me. With Brian quitting high school, crashing cars, joining the Marines. Where's Warren during all this? Like, why didn't he drive you to the airport?
That's not something I care to discuss with a perfect stranger.
Oh, did I forget to introduce myself? Hi, I'm Tom Hanks.
You're making me nervous.
Don't be. So my nom de Bart will be Tom, and you can be his wife, Rita. She's beautiful, talented. You're perfect casting.
Please.
So you'll be Rita?
I'll be Rita.
Good.
Now approaching Embarcadero Station.
Want my dictionary?
Nope. Let's test my mettle. Act out a hint, like in charades.
You're the actor, not me, okay?
You're chewing. You're kissing. The kiss is four letters. We'll want six letters starting with S. Spoon? Smack. No, they're both five letters. You're talented. It must be smooch. Six letters.
Right. It took you long enough.
I know. I was observing your lips. Very nice.
Wait a minute. You knew darn well that osculate means to kiss, didn't you?
Possibly.
You sneak. That's exactly why you never finish crosswords. You treat the whole thing like a game.
Oh, forgive me. I forgot that it's rocket science.
You joke, but crosswords are a science. The way you do one reveals your character, or lack of it, like a Rorschach test.
Oh, really? And what have I revealed so far?
That you're obviously a charming free spirit.
Thank you. I'm flattered.
Don't be. Charming free spirits have their downside.
Oh?
I can see why you had trouble working for your father, if he's organized and thorough. You've got loose cannon written all over you.
Is that so, Dad? That's what he called me when I left. Well, I sure as hell would rather be a loose cannon than a bean-counting nitpicker.
That, of course, would describe me, too, right?
If the knit fits.
Why don't you wake up and realize that you free spirits aren't free at all? You're prisoners of your own impulses.
Ah, the High Priestess of the Crossword Inquisition has spoken. Well, you're right. I'm impulsive as hell. So screw this thing.
I knew you'd quit. For your information, crosswords are a metaphor for life. And those who give up on puzzles give up on the important things, too. I sure don't envy your wife.
Oh, so now you're saying I'm a lousy husband, too.
Bingo. And I didn't say it. Your crossword did.
Well, I'd like a second opinion. From you, your shrinkness.
Forget it. That would be totally unprofessional.
So be it. Where's my sports page?
Here you are. Enjoy it.
Oh, that was very professional.
All right. You want my opinion, you've got it. But you'll have to answer a few tough questions.
Fire away.
One, before you got married, how long were you and Susie going together exclusively?
What does that have to do with anything?
The amount of foot dragging before commitment is key. Want to see my educated guess?
Well, 6 years, yeah, okay. I get it. You're thinking Peter Pan syndrome.
Oh, you've heard of Peter Pan syndrome?
Of course. Failure to grow up. Need for instant gratification. Commitment to non-commitment.
Question two. While you were exclusive with Susie, how many times did you sleep with other women?
Hold it. 43 across. Peer group. Simple. Eyes. But you asked me a question, and I will answer you. Who remembers?
Want to see what I think?
Okay, you're in the ballpark.
I'm adding one more word that describes you. On a crossword, you would be worst possible husband in 9 letters.
Bill Clinton?
That's 11 letters. This is what I think you are.
Womanizer. Me? Thank you. That's always been my goal, to be a womanizer. But women just wouldn't buy it.
You're not supposed to make your psychologist laugh. Okay, possibly I was a bit rough on you. After all, you did marry Susie. That's a good sign. Peter Pan usually doesn't pull that off.
Yeah, maybe I'm not a total Peter. I'm also not the same guy I was then, and Susie's not the same girl. She didn't have much direction in her life when I met her. After marriage, she went back to school, earned a master's. Now, she's got a great job.
Good, you appreciate her. Perhaps you are approaching menshood.
Thanks. Okay, I told you about my wife. How about a smidge about your husband?
Okay, a smidge. He's a successful contractor with strong opinions.
Which don't always agree with your strong opinions. How does Warren feel about Brian joining the Marines?
It'll make a man of him.
When Brian had problems like smoking pot, did Dad offer guidance, ground the kid, threaten to kick ass?
No. He's an executive. He delegates. So I got to be good cop and bad cop. It gave us one less thing to argue about.
Are you in love with this guy?
Nice try. Back to your crossword.
Okay. By the way, have you finished?
Not quite. I've got Marvin problems of my own, but I'll get him.
I have no doubt. I can't believe I'm saying this. May I use your atlas?
Sure. Where's that darn atlas?
Is that the Sonnets of Petrarch? What's that doing in there?
Perfect example of the treasures one discovers doing crosswords. Last Sunday, New York Times crossword, the question was, Petrarch's muse in five letters.
Laura, of course.
You know about Petrarch?
Only everything. Next to typing, the best thing I learned in high school was the poetry of Francesco Petrarch. He and Dante were the greatest poets of the Renaissance.
Of course, I've always heard of Petrarch. That's why I checked it out at the library.
Now approaching West Oakland Station.
Did you read it?
A bit of it, but Brian kept me too busy, and I have to admit, poetry's always been a little esoteric for me.
Not Petrarch's poetry. It defines love as no other writing has. Laura was his inspiration. They met in a cathedral in Avignon when he was 22 and she was 17. She was the loveliest thing he'd ever seen. But he learned Laura was married to some marquis, so all he could do was adore her from afar and suffer.
That's sensible.
Petrarch would be haunted by Laura for the rest of his life, and he never married. Poor schlub. He wrote poem after poem of his unfulfilled love for 20 years. Then one day he was plunged into despair. He learned that Laura had died. Black plague.
That's awful.
She was only 38. Petrarch hit bottom. His sonnets changed from love to grief. Read them and you'll feel his loss.
Fascinating. Too bad I can't keep the book. It's due back today and there's a waiting list.
So? The late charge is a quarter a day. Here's 4 days.
That's not how I do things, Tom.
How do you do things, Rita?
A library card is a contract. When people are waiting for a book, you return it on time and go to the end of the line.
I see. So that's how common decency works. Okay, if you can't keep the book, I'll give you a Petrarch sampler. Picture Francesco seeing lovely Laura in the cathedral. She was a lot like you, great lips and married. Petrarch gazes at her longingly. And if this be not love, what is it then? Love placed me as a target for his arrow, and I melt like snow in sunlight or wax in the fire. And I am hoarse, Laura, calling for you to see me and merely smile, but you are indifferent. Laura, I have no defense from your beauty and sweet spirit. You are the breeze before which my life flies.
You're wonderful. Your acting skills are wonderful, but get back to your crossword skills.
Yes, ma'am. 119 across. Glum drops, 5 letters. Got it. Tears. How apropos. It takes me right back to Petrarch and his sad side after he learns Laura has died. What a grudge I am bearing the earth that has its arms about her and is holding that face away from me. What a grudge I am bearing the heavens that are shutting her in with their greediness. What a grudge I am bearing the saints that now have her sweet company that I have forever been seeking. What a grudge I am bearing against death. What agony, enduring a heartbreak that can't be fixed.
Yes, death is so damn permanent, isn't it?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I wasn't thinking of... I just wasn't thinking. Listen, Rita, be optimistic about Brian. He'll do just fine.
If you say so, Tom.
I do. Positive thinking works. Excuse me a moment. Got to check with my office at the airport.
Sure. Hi, Warren. It's me. I know you always screen your calls, so if you're listening, fine. And if you're not, I hope you check your messages before you tee off. It's 5 a.m. Saturday morning. I just left Brian at the airport, about to fly to the Paris Island boot camp. Obviously, I couldn't change his mind. God knows I tried. Anyway, I'm sure you realize how important it is for you to write a fatherly letter to Brian today. His mailing address is Marine Basic Training, Paris Island, South Carolina, 29905. Well, have a nice golf game.
Everything okay, Rita?
Fine, but you know something? I'm tired of being Rita. Why not call me Janet?
Janet? Is that your real name?
Yes, but let's just keep it first names, okay?
Sure, Janet. I feel trusted. Hi, I'm Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Janet, now that we're practically old friends, I feel I can be honest with you. I'm really stuck here.
No problem, Josh. That's when you dig in and go back to basics.
Basics? No, that's not what I mean.
Clues that are right in front of your face. For instance, most plurals end in S. Use the S going the other way, and most past tense words end in ED, like walked or talked. Here's one. Try an E and D at the end, then go across.
Yeah, I needed that E for beast of burden. Of course, Elsie, but what I meant was I'm stuck because I'm having trouble concentrating on anything other than Brian.
Oh, join the club.
Sometimes Petrarch can help you find an answer to things like how to reopen slammed doors.
I didn't slam any doors.
Does Brian know that? You told me you walked out of Starbucks angry and frustrated.
Believe me, Brian was as relieved to end that conversation as I was.
You know, I read some wisdom once inside a fortune cookie. Great opportunities are often found at a moment of defeat.
Josh, please spare me the chop suey wisdom.
But you can turn defeat into victory. Don't answer if you don't want to. But I figure Brian's piano lessons and Camp Thundercloud were your idea, right?
Of course. If he had it his way, he'd do nothing.
Joining the Marines is his idea? What if you had said, Brian, if you insist on this, I'll support your decision. Please be careful and be the best Marine you can.
Or die trying.
I know. I know. Janet, Brian's taking on a new mother, his drill sergeant. Why don't you be his rooting section? He's got to believe his first adult decision will turn out right, even if it proves you wrong. Please don't take that as an insult.
How else should I take it, Mr. Unemployed Advice Giver? As a matter of fact, I don't have to take it at all.
Where are you going?
To any car but this one.
Please don't leave. You've got to stay. I did something that I hope will help. My phone could be ringing at any minute.
What are you talking about?
That call I just made? It was to my friend Leo at the airport. I asked him to page Brian at Starbucks in Terminal 3.
You're out of your mind.
And also check any flights leaving for South Carolina in the next hour, with a message for Brian to call the Marine Recruitment Office. My phone.
You nervy, meddlesome... What am I supposed to tell him? That I'm in his corner, cheering him on for driving me crazy because he's giving up his education and maybe getting himself killed?
God forbid. Bite your tongue. Why do Gentiles always tempt fate? I know you believe there's a heaven. Good luck. Knock on wood. Quick.
What wood? There is no wood.
Here, use what's left of my pencil.
You're crazy.
Do it! That's Brian. Please, knock on pencil. Thank you. Hello? Yes, Brian. You got the right number. Actually, it's not the Marines. It's your mother. She's on the BART train, and she wanted to talk to you. Hold on. It's for you.
Hi, honey. How are you doing? Good. Well, you know me, just full of surprises. I'm glad, too. Good question. Well, for one thing, I already miss my, Marine. No, I'm feeling fine. I also called because I want to take back that thing I said when I left. But come on, you remember the thing about you'll regret your decision. Did I really say for the rest of your life? I guess I did. That was a silly thing for me to say. Knowing you, I'm sure you can turn what seemed to me to be a bad idea into a good one. So I'm wishing you Semper Fi. What, sweetheart? Uh-huh. No, do you mean it?
What happened?
He says the Marines will make sure he finishes chemistry so he can graduate high school. And he's giving up pot.
That kid's got a future in politics.
I was just talking to an associate of mine I ran into on the BART. Was that your flight they called? Oh, I'm not a great mom. I love you so much. Oh, one more thing. If your drill sergeant makes any requests like, drop and give me 50, just drop and give, okay? For your mother? And call me a lot. Collect. Bye, sweetheart. How can I thank you?
By forgiving me for sticking my nose in.
You're forgiven. But you're crazier than any three of my patients.
I know. But sometimes you have to do something crazy when it's called for. I learned that at a young age, 8, when my parents were about to get a divorce.
Really?
Yeah, Mom and Dad have a terrific marriage now. But back then they argued a lot. I got real good at going to sleep to the sound of slamming doors. But this one time the yelling seemed louder than usual. I'm in the backyard when Dad charges out the door. Gives me a hug and says he's sorry. But he and Mom just can't get along and he's leaving. I knew I couldn't talk him out of it, but I had to do something.
So what did you do?
I said, Dad, before you leave, will you toss the ball with me? So he nods and grabs his fielder's glove, and I grab my little glove, and we start tossing. And we toss, and we toss. And before you know it, it gets dark, and Mom comes out and says, Dinner's ready! Brisket! And together, Dad and I go in there, and all three of us eat briskets, while we watch Huntley and Brinkley. And somehow, I realize, in my kid's mind, I've just done something important.
You sure did. It made your dad see how much you needed him. So he stopped thinking of his needs and thought of yours.
You're right.
And 3 years ago, you could have returned the favor instead of leaving his business. Why didn't you?
He didn't offer me brisket.
You're impossible.
Now let's get back to Brian. You were really wonderful with him. Warm, supportive.
You mean not my usual bastion of right and wrong? I can be something of a bastion.
True.
My brother used to call me Granite Janet.
Now approaching Rock Ridge Station.
When you just said, how can I thank you, did you mean it?
Absolutely. I owe you a lot. What is it?
You know, it sounded real nice when you told Brian that I was an associate of yours. I'd like it if that could really happen.
What are you trying to pull?
Don't freak. Nothing's being pulled. I'd like to continue, rather start, some kind of friendship. I find you a fun person, in a challenging kind of way.
Are you forgetting you're married?
No.
And I'm married?
I know.
Exactly what do you have in mind? You want me and Warren and you and Susie to double date?
Actually, no, I'm really not that interested in your meeting Susie or me meeting Warren.
Smart. He'd probably tear your head off, with great pleasure, by the way. He's a huge anti-Semite.
You mean he's extremely anti-Semitic or anti-Semitic and huge?
Both. Now, have you returned to your senses?
Nope.
Will you stop? What do you think you're doing?
I'm seizing the moment. I don't want to say to myself when I get home, idiot, you blew it. Now she's gone forever. You should have told Janet how intrigued with her you are. You should have...
made a move.
I'm not making a move. Something preordained is happening here. Think of it. The two of us, alone in this car, both doing the crossword puzzle. You trying to help me land a job and me trying to help you with your son. And don't tell me it's not wonderfully weird that you had a book of Petrarch's sonnets and I love Petrarch. We can't just say goodbye at Bay Point.
Here's a dictionary. Look it up. That's a move.
Okay. Call it what you want. But can you honestly tell me there's nothing special between us?
I'm not saying that. I'll admit I find you somewhat fascinating, like a cruise on the Titanic.
Good. And if I finish my crossword, and I just might because you've inspired me, I'm sure you'll be curious to know if I got hired by Banana Republic. Why don't we set a date for lunch so you can find out?
Instead, why don't I just call Banana Republic and ask for the new guy, Josh? If you're there, I'll congratulate you.
You're tough. Is the anti-Semite picking you up at Bay Point?
Let's call him Warren. And no, I'm taking a cab.
But that's nuts. I have a car. I'll drive you home.
I think it's smarter for both of us if I catch a cab.
By the way, how does Warren show his anti-Semitism? Does he burn bagels on Jewish lawns?
No, he makes nasty cracks. He's an electrical contractor. One time he was buying some fixtures and he told me the supplier's price was too high, but I jewed him down.
Huh. A classical intolerant remark. And there's a classic way to teach a bigot like that a lesson. Have lunch with me.
Josh, you are just raving about your wife, Susie. She's bright, earned a master's, got a great job, but she's still not enough for you?
It's not about that. You're just a delightful intellectual sparring partner.
What you're talking about is impossible. How would we handle this friendship, as you call it?
You're willing to listen?
No, but go ahead.
Now approaching Lafayette Station.
What we've got here is a win-win situation. Like you said, it's on a first-name basis. Nobody's traceable. We set a time to meet at a nice, out-of-the-way restaurant. We'll both show up. Or not.
Or not.
If one doesn't show, the other will know it's over. If either one has an emergency, set a new date with the maitre d'. Simple?
No, not. You're describing an affair, and I'm listening.
It's a friendship. We set up one lunch, that's all.
That's how affairs start. People get close, fond of each other.
We'll fight that. We'll keep it to mild interest. Admit it. Aren't you the least bit interested? A modicum of curiosity?
I don't know. Strangely enough, you remind me of a puppy who followed me home once. He had a broken tail.
Did you keep him?
Yes, but he wasn't married. And I had him neutered.
That would be a deal breaker.
If we have lunch, and I'm not saying we will, what happens if we're seen by Susie or Warren?
We tell the truth.
I'm impressed. Not about the money only, but that you showed initiative and foresight and strategy skills.
Yeah, admit it. I'm a hell of a catch. Now, do I have permission to drive you home in my BMW with its quiet V8 engine that won't wake Warren?
Tempting, but no thanks.
You need a little hint there?
Of course not.
Looks like your moment of truth is turning into a month of truth.
I'm about to fill it in. I'm just making sure.
Now approaching Walnut Creek Station.
Being wrong would be a first for you, wouldn't it?
Just finish your own crossword, okay?
But I am finished.
You are not.
I am, thanks to you, my muse.
Let me see that.
But if you cheat, won't your victory be hollow?
Just give me that. You're amazing. You finished, and everything cross-checks, except, of course, you misspelled gecko. It isn't G-E-K-K-O, it's G-E-C-K-O.
Not this gecko. Just read 38 down.
Okay, Oscar-winning lizard.
That would be Gordon Gecko, played by Michael Douglas in the 1987 movie Wall Street. Michael's gecko was G-E-K-K-O. I noticed that odd spelling when I watched the credits. That's why you have trouble with kowtow. If you had spelled gecko with a C, you'd have to begin kowtow, bowing deeply in reverence.
From the Chinese Mandarin, I know.
With a C. And anyone who has ever kowtowed knows
that it begins with a K. I thought there might be two spellings.
I guess not.
You smart son of a bee.
I'll accept that as your highest praise.
You are something. You introduced me to Petrarch. You made that crazy call to Brian, and if that wasn't enough, you finished the Saturday crossword before I did.
Now approaching Pleasant Hill Station.
My feelings were hurt because you called me a loose cannon. Nitpicking is good. It's the backbone of education. That's how you taught me to organize and cross-check and be exacting and committed. It's what makes you a great teacher.
No, you're the teacher. I'm the learner at the foot of the master. See, I'm kowtowing. You defy classification.
I'm Josh. Tom's taller.
Josh, I knew that. First, you'll do something rash, like storming away from your family business. But then you'll caringly have dinner with your mom and dad every Sunday night.
That's not hard to figure. I'm an only child. Who else is going to show up to laugh at Dad's awful jokes?
See? That's sweet. You glide through life shooting from the hip, ignoring the rules, yet things always come out right for you. Your form stinks, but I love your content.
Who am I to argue?
While I conversely do everything right, yet things come out wrong.
You know that's not true.
Well, it isn't. Are you going to drink that Grand Marnier?
No. You've accomplished a lot. You have a successful psychology practice.
Bull. I have half the patients I should have. Why? Because of my high standards. I refuse to handle my patients with kid gloves the way other shrinks do, with mealy-mouthed questions like, how do you feel about that? No way. I insist they have the courage to confront their problems. So they drop me. You know how few crazy people really give a darn if they're sane or not?
Janet, you should be proud that you've raised your bar so high.
I'm glad you mentioned my bar, because as of this moment, I am officially lowering it. And under my new low bar policy, I want to congratulate you for finishing your crossword. That was nice.
I just love it when you low bar me.
You know something? I just changed my mind.
About what?
About seeing you again. I've got to find out if you land that job at Banana Republic in person.
Great! Great! I'm going to know by Thursday, so how about lunch on Friday?
Perfect. And the reason I can justify my selfishness is you're just too much fun.
Yeah!
And I need fun, especially with Brian and the Marines. I'll rationalize my guilt by thinking of you as a library book that I check out every once in a while for intellectual stimulation and return you the same day.
Or if you keep me overnight, no late charge.
No, no, there won't be any overnight. And you've had your one kiss. This will strictly be an affair of the minds. Still interested?
Of course. Okay, let's think of a restaurant where the anti-Semites won't show up.
Oh, that? Don't worry. If Warren sees us, it won't be a tragedy.
My head being torn off won't be a tragedy?
Nah. I mean, yes, it would be, but I was going to save this for lunch, but why not now? Warren and I aren't married anymore.
You're divorced?
Yes, I'm proud to say. Last month, I celebrated my 6th year of independence.
But your ring?
I just wear this for privacy and to keep male patients from getting bold ideas. I call it my no-pest strip.
You're not married. Fabulous.
Yes, your head will remain safely on your shoulders.
Well, what happened between you and Warren?
What happened? Well, Warren was handsome, treated me like a princess, and I was in my middle 30s and wanted a baby. I knew he wasn't perfect, but he seemed so fixable. A few months after our fabulous wedding, I got pregnant and began to discover the real Warren. He was a bigot, control freak, and he snored.
The big three.
He never made me laugh, so I stayed married for Brian's sake until finally I asked myself the question I ask clients when their marriage falters. Is he or she worth putting up with? It was simple. No. Warren's not an awful father. He sees Brian pretty regularly.
Wow! You're not married!
That's right. It cuts the guilt in half.
You're free! How did I get so lucky?
Not so fast. Nobody's getting lucky. Are you forgetting about Susie? Because I haven't.
Right. Susie. I think it's time to discuss Susie.
Okay, let's discuss her.
Now this is really funny. Susie and I aren't married.
You divorced?
No, actually, we were never married.
You made her up?
No. There is a Susie and she's married, just not to me.
So all of your my wife this, my wife that was a lie?
Bingo.
Don't you dare use my bingo. You soil it.
Janet, wait, aren't you glad I'm not married?
Glad? To find out you're a fraud and a liar?
But I was honest enough to admit it. That should earn me some respect.
Are you nuts? Would you respect Stevie Wonder if he said, hey, I've been kidding, I can see just fine.
Look, I'm sorry about wearing this ring, but I can explain everything.
Now approaching Concord Station.
Please, we've got less than 9 minutes.
I'll give you 2.
Okay, the 2-minute version. You're right, I'm a total idiot who would never commit to marriage because I was afraid I'd regret it. So, of course, no woman ever met my stupid standards till I met Susie at a party at the Mark Hopkins. She was cute, warm, classy. There was just one problem. I wasn't sure she was smart enough.
For you?
But I wanted marriage. I even bought this ring to try to get me used to the idea. Put it on, took it off. Put it on, took it off. So Susie and I took this trip to London. I thought it would be kind of a pre-honeymoon test.
Did you tell Susie she was on a pre-honeymoon test?
Of course not. What kind of insensitive idiot do you think I am? Anyway, we're in London, the center of culture. So I say, let's go to the Tate to see the Turners. She said, not in this life. I'm going shopping. Who the hell goes to London to shop?
Everybody. I bought this Burberry scarf in London.
Okay, but I'm sure you also went to the Tate to see the Turners.
No. Well, okay, yes. For maybe a half hour, till I was up to here with faded English watercolors. That's when I left and went to Harrods, the most fabulous department store in the world.
Well, at least you went.
So what did you think of the Turners?
Eh.
Boy, do you need help. What happened with you and Susie after that?
We kept going together, till one day she tells me her high school sweetheart wants to marry her. But she hasn't said yes yet. I knew an ultimatum when I heard one, but I didn't budge.
Of course you didn't.
Yeah, I ran into Susie 5 years later. She's happily married. She's no longer cute. She's gorgeous. Her twins are gorgeous. Plus, she is now a top executive at Macy's in Union Square, where I pass all the time and kick myself.
Oh, should I feel sorry for you? A snake who's getting what he deserves? Who lacks the courage for marriage, yet wears a wedding ring?
Okay, I only wear this once in a while because it reminds me of Susie. I had a golden opportunity with her, but I guess I wasn't ready for it. I forgot I had it on until you noticed it, and then it was too late to take it off.
Another lie. You wear that ring so you can score with absolutely no commitment, right?
Wrong. I've been scoring without commitment for years, which I'm not proud of.
You are very smart to be not proud. Suddenly I'm getting a clear picture of why your dad didn't trust your decisions and treated you like a kid. You are a kid. I don't trust you either.
I don't blame you, but I'm working on it. Since you pounced on me, I've been questioning every important decision I've made since kindergarten. That'll take a few minutes.
I couldn't care less. Lunch Friday is a dead issue. You are a dead issue.
Now approaching North Concord Station.
Damn it! Don't I deserve 1 inch of slack for admitting I'm not married? I could have kept my secret and had a great affair with you.
In your dreams, that's not my style.
Well, what is your style? Do you abandon a patient who needs help? Didn't you drum into my little head, a crossword puzzle is a metaphor for life?
Of course, so what?
Then inversely, a life, my life, is a metaphor for a crossword puzzle. Are you going to let my puzzle be the first one you ever gave up on? I'm a beginner. Beginners make mistakes. That's why pencils have erasers. And if the mistakes aren't fatal, you forgive a little and erase a little.
Damn you. You're the exact type of man full of wasted potential that I find infuriating.
Well, damn you right back for making me realize what a schmuck I am and leaving before we can fix me.
Josh, I'm not the least bit interested.
Then try harder. This is important. You're the woman I've been searching for all my life, I think.
You think?
Yeah, I'm finally thinking. Janet, you seem to have everything I want. Looks, brains, class, wit, a sense of yourself. Boy, do you have that.
Did you notice you started your whole list off with looks?
Sue me, I'm shallow, but in a deep way. Everything I see, I like. You don't have any tattoos, do you?
Of course not. Not that you'll ever find out. I've got a list, too. Are those your own teeth? Is there lots of hair on your back? Do you have flabby abs or a six-pack?
Kind of a flabby six-pack. Look, I screwed up with Susie, but if I let you disappear, I've failed again, and in a way, so have you.
Failed? I have not failed. At least I gave marriage a shot, and since it ended, I've created a very satisfying life, thank you, despite having some fairly steep hills to climb.
I know it. Couldn't have been easy. You probably...
Shut up.
Right. Janet, look at me. I'm down on bent patellas, begging to get a word in edgewise. Brian's going to do just fine. He's on his own now, and so are you. And as long as I'm down here, I want to warn you about something. I'm officially making my move.
What's wrong with you? Suddenly you've gone from Peter Pan to a commitment junkie?
I know, but I'm panicked. We're almost at Bay Point.
Josh, please get up. I've long since stopped wishing for some romantic prince to ride in or crawl up on a white horse.
Janet, no way have you given up on romance. You may be an expert on crosswords, but I know kissing. And you kissed me like a woman who's still in the game. Admit it.
That was strictly knee-jerk with a real jerk.
I'm working on that. May I?
No.
No?
Yes.
Those are not the lips of a quitter.
That's true. And I'm not saying it wouldn't be very pleasant to fall in love, but that doesn't mean I'm about to go gaga over every mildly attractive Jewish Peter Pan I meet on the BART.
You find me mildly attractive? Then I'm way ahead. Usually I squeak by on my charm. Janet, one lunch.
Which might lead to a second lunch, and a third, and suddenly you might matter to me. Then when things fall apart the way they always do...
Not always.
It would hurt like hell. Then we'd be even bigger failures.
Isn't it worth the gamble? Jen, I know we have differences to smooth out, but we'd both be bringing baggage to the relationship.
I'd be bringing baggage. You'd be bringing a steamer trunk.
I was wrong. First wit, then looks. Okay, I've bothered you enough. I'm through. Except for one final word.
Why am I not surprised? Okay, what's your final word?
Five letters. Envious or unripe?
Green, the color?
No, green, the proper noun. My last name.
You rat. The rules were no last names. Untraceable.
I live in Antioch, and I'm in the book under Joshua Green.
Will you shut up?
Can't. I'm out of the closet. By the way, I come from good stock. My parents, Arthur and Barbara Green, own and operate the Green Button Company. The factory's in Oakland. Also in the book.
Why are you doing this?
So you can reach me when you have second thoughts. Which you will. Every time you button or unbutton anything.
I'll use zippers.
And by the way, I'll be joining the ranks of the gainfully employed next week.
Good attitude. You finished your crossword, so you'll nail that job at Banana Republic.
No, I won't.
Of course you will.
Nope. I won't be auditioning for jobs anymore. If you decide you want to reach me, Janet, call the Green Button Company.
Are you serious?
Couldn't be more. You've turned me into a completion freak. And where better to complete things than the Green Button Company? It's not a job. It's my heritage. From father to son. From father to son. So, tomorrow night at dinner, I'll say to the Iron Fist, Dad, remember all your advice that drove me nuts? Like, don't go off half-cocked and think things through and make sure a great idea is a smart idea? They all make perfect sense to me now. Then I'll say, Dad, how about tossing the ball with me again?
He'll say yes. I like your decision.
Then I'm sure it's right. Thanks for creating the new Josh Green.
So now you're the new Josh Green. Instantly.
Not instantly. It took 1 hour and 20 minutes and a lot of help. Thanks for the nudge with your velvet sledgehammer.
My pleasure.
Now approaching Bay Point Station.
Well, any final thoughts?
Yeah. I must be losing my mind.
Why?
I'm writing Friday, 1 p.m., lunch with the new Josh Green.
Oh, my God. There really might be a God. If you're up there, I owe you.
Friday's perfect. It'll give me some time to read Petrarch's sonnets so we can discuss them at lunch.
Perfect. But isn't that book due today?
Yes. But someone once told me a dollar buys you 4 extra days.
What about the waiting list?
It'll do what waiting lists are supposed to do. Wait.
Curse me. I've corrupted you.
A bit. All right, I'll see you Friday. Or not. I'll reserve a table for 2. Or not, at this little nice place in Berkeley.
Great. Wonderful. I'll be there at 1. Wait a minute. What nice little place in Berkeley?
7 letters.
Oi.
People who drive a lot.
Commuters.
Duh, that's 9 letters.
Truckers, they drive a lot.
That's 8 letters.
Bay Point Station, it's 5:35 a.m. This is the end of the line.
Bite your tongue.
Gotta go. I see a cab out there, and please don't follow me. So long, Josh Green.
But what if I can't get it?
Weigh every word. Confidence, Josh. Remember, you beat Will Shorts on Saturday. Bye.
Damn it. People who drive a lot. Weigh every word. People who drive a lot. A parking lot. Parker's. Parker's Restaurant in Berkeley?
Bingo.
I know that place. 1 o'clock Friday. I'll be there.
Me too.
Or not.
We hope you've enjoyed Radioactive Theater's production of Two Across. The program was produced and directed by Catherine Thornton and Julie Standrovich. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone or iPad. Tune in again next time for Radioactive Theater, a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.